onto our main topic for this week now, which is how we can keep things like drugs, the probiotic good bacteria that you get in yogurts, and even the enzymes in washing powder in pristine condition until we need them. Scientists are investigating new ways to protect and guard these tiny helpers so that they can last longer and do their job more effectively. One way to do this is to use tools that have evolved naturally already.
And the toughest cells in nature are actually spores produced by bacteria. They can lie dormant in the environment for thousands or even millions of years before being reactivated when conditions suit them. We're joined tonight by Graham Christie from the Department of Chemical Engineering and Biotechnology at the University of Cambridge. He's investigating whether nature's toughest exteriors can be made to contain therapeutic proteins that could increase a drug's shelf life exponentially. Hi, Graham. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
So let's start off with the obvious question. What is a spore?
Well, most bacteria, you mentioned the probiotic bacteria earlier, will consume nutrients as they grow. And when the nutrients run out, then essentially they die off or they adopt a quiescent or non-viable state. Spore-forming bacteria, on the other hand, can sense when nutrients are running out and they decide to develop a spore as a survival mechanism.
So it's a bit like kind of an egg, I guess, some kind of precious container for their genes.
It's more like a seed, I guess, yeah.
And what do spores actually look like in sort of molecular terms? What makes a spore a spore?
Well, spores from different species can look quite different. They all share the same general ultrastructure in that they have a spore coat on the outside and then a thick cell wall. In the middle of the spore core is where the DNA and all the usual cellular proteins are kept. But the spore coat can look quite different in different species.
How does it sense when the time is right to come back to life again?
Now, that's a good question. And that's something I've been looking at for the last decade or so.
Any clues?
So spores have receptors that are buried deep on the inside of the spore. And again, different species have different receptors that recognise different molecules. So generally, amino acids are good signals.
So these are like bits of proteins?
Yeah, bits of proteins or sugars are good signals that the spore now finds itself in an environment that's conducive to growth again.
And it is staggering how incredibly hardy these things are. Just before the show, you were telling me about some of the incredibly old bacterial spores. How old are the oldest ones that have been found and reinvigorated?
That's right. Most people will say certainly hundreds, if not thousands of years, they'd be able to persist in the environment. But there were papers in Nature and Science maybe 10 or so years ago claiming that they had revived spores from amber deposits, and these were supposed to be millions of years old.
Now, these seem like incredible little packages for things, very hardy, they can be reactivated. How are you trying to use this incredible natural thing for the benefit of packaging drugs? Tell me about your work.
The main focus of our work has always been on spore germination and how they wake up. And more recently, we started thinking about the general spore structure and how it achieves dormancy and environmental protection. And it's when we were working on that, we realised that the spore core is exquisitely designed to store proteins and DNA for long periods. So the aim was, if a spore can preserve a protein for a long time, a spore protein, then can it also be designed to make a therapeutic protein, a drug, and keep this in the spore core for an extended time?
Would this be really useful? Because some drugs are sort of small molecules and they're quite stable. This presumably would be for maybe more of the biological drugs that are a bit less stable.
Yeah, we're thinking of proteins, antibodies and such like.
So how do you get then these proteins, these useful proteins, into a bacterial spore to store them?
There are different ways of doing this, but I guess we're really focusing on engineering the spores. So it's a form of genetic engineering. We modify the vegetative cell such that when it senses it's running out of nutrients, then we've inserted a gene or the information to make an antibody or a therapeutic protein, and for the spore to make it and direct it to the spore core.
So the bugs, they go, oh, I'm starving here, quick, let's pack up everything and this thing that we've just made.
Exactly, yeah,
we've got this
new piece of information, and we'll also channel that to the spore core and look after it.
And is there any mileage in taking some of the proteins that make up the spores and trying to turn them into like little packing cases?
Yeah, so some people are quite nervous about spores and the idea of using them in medicine, because spores are associated with Clostridium difficile infections and anthrax and things like that. But in fact, most spores are fairly harmless and can be used as probiotics. But the spore coat itself is made of up to about 100 unique and different proteins. So we can actually express those individually. And we're starting to find out now that they will self-assemble into spheres and little shells that have some of the properties of spores but lack the DNA and the genetic material that people are so scared of, I guess.
So that could be a cleaner way of doing it then?
Yeah, a much cleaner way. And the challenge is to make those non-viable shells as tough and resilient as the native spore itself.
But then you still need to get them to uncoat in the same way, because I guess when you're packaging the drugs in regular bacterial spores, when they go into a person, there's loads of sugar and stuff and they go, woohoo, off you go. How would you get these shells to release their cargo?
Yeah, so even with the normal spores, there's quite a challenge for them to actually release the protein. So normally when they germinate, they release small molecules, but not things the size of proteins. So one of the challenges we're also looking at is, can we actually lyse the spore completely? Can we get it to pop when it germinates and to release its payload? But with the shells, we can look at things like changing the pH or the acidity and the alkalinity of the environment. And this causes the shell to expand or contract. And when it expands, it can actually start to release the payload.
So how much more work do you have to do? Because this sounds like it's kind of a cool idea, but how close is it to actually a reality?
We've certainly made spores that have got drugs packaged up on the inside. And I think we're probably a year or so away from engineering spores that lyse or pop upon germination. But in terms of getting something to market or into clinical trials, we're looking at least 5 years.
Can this work with any kind of drug, or will there be certain chemicals that it just won't work for?
Yeah, we're finding that we're having to take it on a case-by-case basis. So we can't generalise with antibodies. We have to take one particular antibody and see if the spore can actually make it or not.
Thanks very much. That's Graham Christie from the University of Cambridge.